Hey, a little bit of a longer passage today, but we're going to do this. We're in episode 14 in a study of 1 Corinthians called Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom to Everyday Life. Today, we are in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 13. I've called this teaching, Check Your Heart. My name is Lena, by the way. If we haven't met, it is great to have you here. Here's what Paul writes. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings, and would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Man, it makes you want to go into ministry, doesn't it? Paul is, wow, this is really cool. These are good verses. I call this Check Your Heart. We're sort of writing now on, remember we started with growth strategies and your ministry goals, and Paul continues in this vein on talking about how we should live our Christian life, and check your heart is what I call this. Say, how do I see that? Number one, check your heart when it comes to your motives. Paul is sort of confronting them here in a kind way, but he's like, what are your motives? You see, pride is your motive when you are the center of your own story. Part of the problem is that these people in the church of Corinth had become very divided, and they thought they were right. Every faction, the one who followed Paul versus Apollos versus Cephas, each one thought they were right. And so they were more concerned about earthly things than they were about spiritual things. He was urging them to be faithful. And so one of the things that comes out here, you know, remember he talked about in verse 5, how God will disclose the purposes of the heart. You know, there's this insinuation of why do you do what you do? And often pride is our motive. Even when we say it's about God, we want to be the center of the story. And we know that when our feelings are hurt, when others misjudge us, when our feelings are hurt, when the fruit that we expected doesn't happen in the time that we want it to happen. So pride is our motive when we forget who gave us what we have. And that's what Paul is sort of like, but what is it written? That none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. Like, you're not any better if you follow Apollos versus if you follow Paul, because everybody follows Jesus ultimately. For who sees anything different to you? Paul writes, what do you have that you did not receive? And that's humility, acknowledging that it is not my effort, it is not my intelligence, it is not my charisma, it is not my ability to speak well that is winning me any points or favor or growth, but it is God. So that's humility. Pride is your motive when you stop being grateful. See, if you recognize that everything I have is from God, then gratitude overflows. So are you grateful today? By the way, if you express gratitude, often your motives will align themselves rightly as you start thanking God for all he's doing in your life. So check your heart when it comes to your motives. Number two, check your heart when it comes to your wants. He says in verse 8, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. The problem with us is most of us miss that. We're so hungry for the thing we don't have that we miss what we have. And I find that the greatest struggle with contentment is the struggle to see all that God has given me right here and right now. Often I found that the desires of my heart reveal who I really am and what I really worship. And many times it is those desires that reveal that I am often using God to accomplish my purposes rather than submitting to God for him to accomplish his purposes through me. So the desires of our heart will reveal who we are. The reality of our life is that we've been given everything we need. So Paul goes on to say, look, you want to see how it should be lived? We're fools for Christ. We're weak. You're strong. We're healthy. Even it goes on. We're poorly dressed, buffeted, homeless. We labor, working. We're reviled, slandered. That's the life of a minister of the gospel. And you say, man, that sounds harsh. But remember why you're doing it. For Jesus. And in that context, he's saying, I have everything I need because he has Jesus. And the power in your life is that you're no longer your own. It's not your agenda. It's not your house, your car, your job, your career, your promotion. It's the Lord and his fame and his renown. So check your heart when it comes to your motives, check your heart when it comes to your wants, and check your heart when it comes to your fears. There's fears here. Our biggest fear is to be homeless, poorly dressed, reviled. Like, you look at all the things that Paul says to be thought of as foolish, and yet our very fears reveal what we worship. What should make us afraid? It's funny. Here's Paul. He lists everything that most of us are afraid of, and yet those are the very things that become his fuel for strength in Christ. So what should make us afraid can actually become our fuel for strength in Christ. What should hurt us becomes fuel for love in the name of Christ. Paul, when people revile him, as opposed to cursing them, he loves them. He blesses them. When he's slandered, we entreat people. So the things that should make us alienated from others, the opposite things work. So in upside down ways of God. What should make us quit becomes fuel for our endurance in Christ. We see this modeled in the life of Paul in a remarkable way. By the way, we see it modeled in the life of Peter and of Apollos. So it wasn't their fault that the people were doing this, but Paul is correcting the church. Remember, this is a letter of admonition and correction. And the question is, will you listen? Will you respond? And by God's grace, we see towards the end of the story, I'll give you a spoiler alert, that they do respond. And we'll see that as we get into the next semester in 2 Corinthians. But for now, check your heart. How are your motives? What are your wants? And what are you afraid of? Would you allow God to change those things and let them become the fuel for your love and fruitfulness for the Lord? Hey, it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope you believe that, and I pray that you will have a God-honoring day. In Jesus' name, I'll see you again tomorrow.